This week here in Washington, throngs of people have gathered to rally and pray for a deeper reverence for life. Coincidentally, this week also marks the 5th anniversary of the death of one of my dearest friends. I first met Sister Elizabeth when she arrived in South America to minister at the shantytown parish next to mine. Liz was a tall drink of a lady, and so thin that it seemed that any slight breeze might carry her away. At her parish, she was a dynamo, a veritable frenzy of activity. And yet, some of my best memories of her are of the two of us, just sitting and quietly chatting away an entire afternoon. Over the course of our several years together, I'd say that she came to know me as well as anybody has. It was easy to talk to her about my life, and I know that she felt comfortable sharing her life with me, too. A couple of years ago, Liz was elected provincial superior of her community and returned to the United States. On the one hand, I felt sorry for her being uprooted from Chile. I knew how much it had become part of her life. On the other hand, I was delighted that she was so much closer to me. About a year after her return, Liz was admitted to the hospital. Over the previous several weeks, she had grown increasingly fatigued, and the people around her noticed that she had begun to slur her words. The hospital ran a slew of tests which, in the end, were inconclusive. For her first couple of days in the hospital, Liz refused any visitors. She told us later that it was because she felt guilty about feeling sick. Eventually, they did a brain scan and discovered multiple malignant tumors that were inoperable. I happened to be with another friend the day we got that shocking news. My friend remarked, "I hope God takes her quickly before she becomes totally dependent. Liz couldn't stand that." I remember at the time being disturbed by the remark, but I couldn't put my finger precisely on why. The next day, I went to the hospital to anoint Liz. She looked exhausted and had some difficulty speaking, but her mind was as sharp as ever. During the anointing service, we read that passage from 2 Corinthians, where St. Paul comments on the gift of God's love in our life. Paul says, "We hold this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the power belongs to God, not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, struck down, but not destroyed." While we reflected together on that passage, Liz said, "I think this is the first time in my life that I have felt so powerless, and I hate it. But for the first time in my life, I'm also beginning to understand what it means to surrender and turn everything over to God, and then just to lie here like a lazy lout and know how much God loves me." A couple of days later, a deep lethargy crept over Liz, and she slept more and more. She died 1 month to the day that she entered the hospital. In these intervening years, as I remember her dying, I find myself coming back to three things: her feeling guilty about being sick and not wanting anyone to see her like that, our friend's remark about God taking Liz quickly before she became dependent, and Liz's own comment about lying in her hospital bed like a lazy lout and knowing how much God deeply loved her. These three things have helped me to understand better what it means to respect life. There's something in me, perhaps in you too, that finds an echo in Liz's feeling guilty about being sick, about not being able to get up and perform. I think it's because we have lost sight of what gives value to our lives. Unconsciously, we calculate the worth of our life in terms of how much we do and what we can offer. That is a grave distortion of what Scripture tells us about God's gift of life. As Rabbi Heschel so deftly phrased it, just to be is a blessing. Just to live is holy. I also now realize why the remark about God taking Liz quickly before she became dependent disturbed me so much. It's because there's a part of me that never wants to become dependent, to be a burden on anyone else. But would that really be so horrible? There's a certain rhythm in life, a balance between giving and receiving. At the beginning of life, and often towards the end of our life, there's a lot of receiving. A newborn cannot possibly do anything to earn our love, and yet our hearts melt when we hold her in our arms. Despite middle-of-the-night feedings and messy diapers, we gladly offer that infant love and care and comfort. Why is it then so difficult for us to accept the love and care and comfort of others at the end of our life? That's what becoming dependent means, after all, to receive more and more, to give less and less. That's just how God made life, and God asks us to reverence that life as holy. I have a feeling that if I tried to convince you this afternoon that my way of thinking about the death penalty or my way of thinking about assisted suicide was the only correct way to respect life, and that you must believe exactly the way I do if you want to be good Catholics, more than a few of you would leave here today offended or confused or angry. That's because good people often hold different opinions about important issues, even sacred issues. So instead, I've chosen to tell you about my friend Liz, not because she was a saint. She certainly was not. It was to share with you how her dying reminded me what reverence for life is all about. It was in her sickness and in her death that I recognized the truth of St. Paul's claim that this awesome treasure of life that we have, this unfathomable gift of being loved by God, we hold it in fragile earthen vessels to show that no performance of ours, no accomplishment in life can earn for us God's love. As we say each week in our liturgy, you indeed are holy, O Lord. You give life to all things and make them holy. That's why we reverence life, all life, without qualification, because it comes from God. And I trust that is something that we all can agree on.